Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Friday Special, a podcast by Guitar Nerds. In this series, in each episode, I'll have a new guest from the world of guitars, amplification, effects pedals. We'll have brands and producers, musicians, and everything in between. I am your host, Joe Brandon, joined by my co-host, Matt Knight.
Hello.
And our special guest, Paul Chock from Chock's Power Supplies. Hello, Paul, and welcome to the show.
Hello. It's nice to be here with you.
Oh, well, thank you very much for coming on board. I'm sorry, Matt. I totally spoke over you when you tried to introduce yourself there.
That's fine. I'm here.
Yes, I'm glad you're here as well. Thank you very much. But yes, it's wonderful to have you here, Paul, on the show. And dear listener, if you're not familiar with Chock's Power Supplies, Chock's makes some of the most rugged, most versatile power supplies on the market. In fact, if we're honest, Paul, your company leave the bulk of the competition in their wake thanks to their ever-evolving progressive engineering and their attention to the market and trends when it comes to effects pedals requirements and, you know, popular pedal boards and things. In fact, the Chock's as a company have been around since 1991. Is that right, Paul? That's correct. Right, and so in 1991, you would have made your first power supply. That's early doors for power supplies, because there weren't a lot of pedals on people's boards back then.
Actually, 91 is the date for officially started the company. The company was officially started on my birthday, my 18th birthday, because I couldn't start register the company earlier. But I was 16 where I started to play around with some thoughts about doing the power supplies. I played guitar by that time. When I was 16, I still believed I have a little bit of talent. I don't, and I realized, you know, like 10 years later, and figured out that I'll be better engineer than musician.
I see.
But anyway,
unfortunately, you had a company set up for that reason.
16, and I played in some kind of school band, and I figured out that there were no nice solutions for powering pedals at that time, at least on the market in Denmark.
I have no idea what would have even been on the market at that time.
There was actually a power supply, a local guy who made a product called Clean, and nobody heard about that outside Denmark, I guess. And I figured out it was like in pounds, it would have been like £60. And I thought that was an incredibly high price for a piece of equipment, which was not very advanced. And I thought that I could make it much nicer with a nicer design. And start a company doing power supplies. So that was like the very first start, and that was when I was 16. And then I played around with some ideas, a smaller model, a bigger model, and I found a couple of plastic enclosures that could fit my ideas and my design. And actually, I went over to store a rather famous store, Supersound, in Copenhagen. It's gone now. But this guy thought it was a nice idea, and he was willing to actually sign a piece of paper that if I made this product, he would buy the first 10 units.
So amazing.
Yeah, and I took this piece of paper, went off to the bank, and asked him for a loan. And I lended, I think, I don't know, it was 25,000 Danish kroner. That would be like £3,000, I guess, right, around that. So I spent it all on, I don't know, booze and women during the summer holiday with my friends. And then I had to borrow from my parents to make the first 100 of power supplies. So that's kind of funny. But anyway, I made the first 100 of the baby power supply, and that was during the summer of 92.
Right, so, and that was your first product, the baby.
That
and
was that the was first what, product, the baby, yeah.
It was 5 9-volt
That's correct.
Supplies.
Non-isolated, but a very nice, small box. And the design was actually, I was inspired a little bit by a small power supply from TC Electronics, which had 4 outlets. And it was very simple to look at, like, you know, like German stuff. It had some print on it, what it did, voltage, current. So I was, I mean, it wasn't a big design thing, but uh-huh, it's I made it and I sold the first 10 pieces to Supersound. That was great. And I can tell you the next units were much harder to sell. So I bought actually right, one of these Roland magazines, and on the last page you had like these Boss Roland, authorized dealers in Denmark. So I start calling these guys, hey, I've got this power supply. And it was very tough to get in because they were always talking. And we've got the Boss, you know, this like Woolworth thing, this PSA adapter or PCA. Yeah. And we sell these and that's fine. So why would we need something else than that?
Well, that's it. I guess like brick power supplies weren't even commonplace by then. Certainly no one needed isolated stuff. Digital pedals were only just coming about.
That's correct, but in US, the biggest player on the market, at least 10 years ago, with Voodoolab, they've already started. Mm. But I mean, by that time, I didn't really know about this at all. So, and they were not very well known in Denmark. So this was it was tough work to get these products to the Danish shops, but in a few years, I managed to be like the number one brand. I remember, I don't have numbers in front of me, but I remember one year I sold 1,000 units in Denmark only.
Yeah, you became the industry standard for power supplies
in Denmark. And Denmark is a rather small country. So I was like a little bit upset that I'm so popular, but why the hell is Denmark so small? I mean,
but and that wasn't with the baby, was it? That was with the two products you made after.
Yeah, because then in 95, as far as I remember, I made the Big John, and it was 7 outlets. And the you can imagine why 7. And this is because I was still too small to pay for the mold tool for making my own enclosure. So I was buying a standard enclosure from like a, like, I don't know, Electro Shack. What do you call these hobby stores?
Where you buy we had one called Maplin.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like that's right. So yeah, they had this, the enclosure I used for the baby. There was another one that was a little bit larger. And I went for that to make a slightly bigger power supply, which had 600 milliamps instead of 280. And that was the Big John, right? And then a couple years later, I changed a little bit on the Big John, make the double jack, because you had some of these Boss pedals. They were meant to be fed by the ACA adapter, which was a 9-volt thing, but it was non-regulated. So the actual voltage supplies to the pedals was more in the 12, 13 volts range. So this is why we made this 12 volts, 2 outlets which were 12 volts to be able to supply the ACA intended pedals for which were intended to be powered by the ACA adapters from Boss.
I see.
Because and Boss also was like kind of a standard. I mean,
of course.
It was long. I mean, 91 or the beginning of 90s. I mean, I don't know how many pedal brands there were around by that time.
Well, a lot of them were still, you know, doing hardwired pedals, or, you know, Electro-Harmonix were doing. There was not even a standardized input for pedals, you know.
No, that's right. I mean, the 3.5 millimeter plug was still used by Dodd and by the Crybaby. The Rads use also that standard. A lot of these brands are going away from that and switched over to the 2.5 millimeter barrel, 5.5-2.1 millimeter DC plug.
But it was still kind of around that time, the mid 90s. There weren't really that many pedals that were. That were a massive draw that required a big power supply. This was really
early
doors.
You had the, like the DD3, I think, was around, and it was like 65 milliamps. So it was still, and it worked well on a daisy chain. So it was not that big issue to have it all non-isolated.
Yeah, of course.
But what's after we sort of we were talking yesterday on our regular podcast, and I remember having. A big John power supply. That was the first proper power supply that I ever bought, because my pedal board before, you know, was a few pedals and had three or four, you know, PSA Boss supplies, or, you know, a special one if it required it. But the big John was the first proper power supply I remember buying.
Okay.
So I thought that
and
was
you bought
that...
in UK, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's another funny story, because in the beginning of the car, I can't remember exactly what year it was, but I actually joined with my very good friend for, I think, 3 months. The cooperation lasted for 3 months, and then we we hated each other for 2 years because I wanted out. But we managed to get our first order to UK with a company called Barnes & Mullins. I think it was like one of those big distribution company by then, but they had a huge catalog. So we went to London and made this deal for, I think, 225 units. And that was our first overseas order. And we were really, really happy about that and proud of ourselves to get that. And you might have gotten this big John of that shipment. I mean, so
yeah, probably.
If you bought it with a UK plug on it, that was probably part of that. That cooperation with Barnes & Mullins, if it was one of those early units.
Yeah, it was definitely a hardwired UK plug unit, so it probably was. I was working in a small guitar shop at the time, and that's when I first sort of cut my teeth as learning about all things pedal related. That was my first foray into proper power supplies. And it always stuck in my mind, and we were talking about it yesterday, because of the power jack design, you know, in terms of the lead design on that one, using a different plug type, you know, compared to what I learned about afterwards. And I always thought that was such a good design.
Okay.
Were they RCAs then, even on the early?
I mean, I started with the RCAs. I mean, there are a lot of explain. I just did a YouTube video about this
yes, I did watch it.
and I still think that that's the main thing. I mean, the mechanical fixture and the surface, the big contact surface makes it a very good connection, actually. But also, I mean, talking about the old times, a part of the story is also that I didn't have a milling machine, and those DC blocks needed to have a square hole. It's very difficult to make square holes with a drill, you know. So that's kind of the funny part of it. But we stuck to the design with the RCAs. I'm happy about that, because we actually have a very good connection in those.
And in the future, they definitely feel more sturdy.
Yeah, and now with the new the future power generation range, the D7, the 8, and the 4, we are using a different type of RCA. It's fully made of metal, so it attaches to the PCB in a really, really nice and sturdy way. I'm even more happy for the RCAs now than I was, I don't know, a few years back. So it's even a more sturdy design now than it used to be on the older products.
That seems to be for me sort of the backbone of your brand, is that everything seems to have an attention to detail and an awareness. I mentioned this at the start, but a real awareness of the industry. It feels like your power supplies moved and progressed as people started buying different types of effects pedals, different pedal boards became popular. Because then,
yeah,
I guess
mean, if I could shorten down the 20 years, the mid 20 years of the company's lifetime. I mean, we started off with the Baby and the Big John and the Double Jack, and then we had three more products coming in, where it was Schizophrenic and it was the AC Rider, and well,
the Power Bitch, was that the other one?
Yeah, that's
around
correct.
That
yeah, got it. You got it.
And this was your first foray into isolated outlets as well, I guess.
Yeah, this was the first three product which actually the Schizophrenic was six isolated outlets. And this is why schizophrenia is a disease where you have like split conscience or split. I'm not a psychiatrist, but something about that. So
yes,
I thought that was a funny name. Some people got offended by that because it's a serious disease. But I mean, sorry for that. But this is how it was. The Power Bitch was there was like three pedals from Electro-Harmonix which needed 24 volts. And there was quite a few pedals from MXR and also Electro-Harmonix that needed 18 volts. And then we also implemented 12 volts. So it was like a unit where you had some of these higher voltages. And the AC Rider, it was, you know, the movie, the Easy Rider. So the AC Rider, we made that with the AC output for some of the two pedals that were in the market. And that was
sure.
Like the second stage of the company. Then we... I think that the next step was actually the biggest step was launching the DC-10 back in 2010 and 11. That was the first power supply fully made in metal with eight isolated sections, and where we had the switch where you could actually switch in between the European and US voltage.
Ah, right. Okay.
And
this is
also where we founded the. Let me see. We founded this sister company in Poland, the manufacturing part of the company, because I was actually producing all the power supplies in my, well, bedroom or kitchen or wherever I had place for that in my old flat in Denmark. And in 2004, I founded the sister company in Poland. I originally come from Poland. My parents are Polish, but I spent 25 years of my lifetime in Denmark, where I took my education in the master's degree in electronics and all that. And this is where all the design stuff, I mean, Denmark is a country where you have a lot of companies dealing with audio, both in professional and also, you know, stereo systems. But it's also a country very well known for design, furniture design.
Absolutely.
All kinds of design. So there's a big culture in that. And I think it also helped me to kind of get the right ideas, and I definitely wanted to make all the details right. But anyway,
didn't you work for like Bang & Olufsen when you
yes,
started
I did.
Out? Yeah,
I used to work for Siemens 2 years, and then from Bang & Olufsen just above 1 year. So I also met a couple of those designers. I used to work with some very very good old friends of mine, which were mechanical designers, and the. The senior engineer, the R&D guy, which is like a super specialist in the switch mode power supply design, he used to work with me in Bang & Olufsen. He was like the head of the power supply division for all the Class D amplifiers Bang & Olufsen sold, the ice power amplifiers. So he's like, what do you say, an old rat in that field. I mean, he's been doing power supplies 40 years. So
right.
It was a bit of a coincidence. We found each other again. But now he's been with the company for 3 years now. So, but I mean, DC-10, just to finish that story, that was made in Poland with our my partner and very long time friend in the company, Tomasz or Tomek, the engineer who was the first employee in the Polish division back in 2004, where he was already. He did this design of the Schizophrenic, the Power Bitch, and the AC Rider, but the DC-10 was like a breakthrough where we, after this whole crisis in 2008 and 2009, where everything was just about to blow up, you know, the Swiss franc, the properties, everything. I was also very close to private bankruptcy, but I raised up again. I spent my time to design the DC-10, and this was like a very big step for us to get it to US, to Australia, to Thailand. I mean, that put us on the map, and we start to sell worldwide.
And was it the DC-10 that led to the collaboration power supply with Eventide then?
That's correct. That's correct. Yes, this is where we started the cooperation with Eventide. This is where I first met. I think it was, I can't remember, it was Ray Maxwell, or it was one of the owners of Eventide that reached out. It might have been the owner, Anthony Agnello. And then Ray took over the communication, and we did the Eventide power factor. Let me see, what is power factor? Yes, it was a power factor we did, and it was based on the enclosure for the DC-10. So we changed it a little bit, and we got that out as well. And by that time, I mean, our brand was very little known in the industry, while Eventide was a big brand. So.
Yeah.
So that was like a nice thing. They helped us in terms of getting a little bit better known in US, definitely, and also other parts of the world, because Eventide was a very known and very nice brand within the industry. So.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
We got the AC-10. I think I can't really remember the DCA, what the order was. The chocolate was also kind of a nice big power supply, which is actually beginning to sell very well in US.
The chocolate is a massive power supply. I've never seen a power supply come close to this. I think I always thought of what was like the biggest one we used to sell at GAC, Matt? Like the Mondo?
Yeah, I always remember that was the only option for most people. And I think
you can always pick like two. You can compare the DC-10 with Voodoolab Paddle Power 2 Plus or the 4x4. And if you take the chocolate, you can compare it to the Mondo. And if you go for, if you have like most of your pedals are 9 volt, then I would even say the Mondo is probably the more right thing to choose. But if you have a lot of different voltages, you have AC and, you know, you want to have the Swiss knife that whatever you get and you throw at it, you'll be able to power the pedal. Then the chocolate is a really nice thing. And I think Americans, they started really to like it because it's so big and heavy, because it is. I mean, it's a beast, you know, in terms of size and weight. In today's standards with the SwitchMod technology, if we did a power supply that size with that weight, I mean, you will probably be able to power a medium house for two families.
But that's kind of, I guess, you touched on something that we didn't go into too much depth on, which was just the way you can switch between power on the power supplies with the little dip switches, allowing you to switch between sort of 9, 12,
yeah, I mean,
15,
we,
and 18.
We always wanted to take it, you know, one step further, you know?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Like, yeah, the Spinal Tap, these go to 11, you know, where the normal power supply, you can have 9 volt and maybe 12. And if it's really great, you can get 18 volts on one or two outlets.
Exactly. And it will be a dedicated separate outlet. And for this it. Is, so if this you've is, got too many of those pedals, you're doomed, you know.
Yeah. But the problem was with the linear technology. I mean, everything I talk about until now on the show now, it's been the products which were based on the linear technology. And just for everybody to know very shortly, it's basically a transformer. It's a mains transformer, which is doing the isolation and the transformation from the high voltage to the lower voltage. Then you've got some filtering components and some voltage regulators, and that's it. It's quite simple in terms of technology. But what was the complicated part is it was to monitor what is on the market of pedals, what kind of requirements do they have, what voltages, what currents, and be able to deliver that mix of different outlets so you were able to power, well, almost any pedal boards with the DC-10 or AC-10 or the chocolate. That was the tough part of the equation by that time. I Nowadays, see. Where we switch over to the switch mode technology, where you have much not going into detail what it does, but but with the new technology we're able to get much more power of the same volume and the same weight, so we lower the weight, we lower the volume, giving you twice or three times more power compared to the linear technology.
That's the future power generation.
That's the
series.
Future power generation. This is where we 3 years ago we took the decision. I mean, the decision was already made. We have to do something in this new era of power supplies. And our goal was, of course, to do something which would be I mean, the best power supply you could imagine. And we tried to make it as flat as possible. We ended up with a profile of 1 inch, and that's the lowest profile you can get of a power supply, which is powered of mains, because you have a lot of different power supplies in the market, but they are powered by an external adapter. So the main conversion from the high voltage to the lower voltage is being made in external power supply, which is basically like a laptop adapter.
Yeah.
And then the remaining part is doing the isolation and giving you the different voltages. I mean, the DC-7, which is the first product in the future power generation range, combined those two things in one unit. So you have like one part of the box is a power supply, a switchmode, a fully switchmode power supply, which converts the AC voltage from mains to a lower voltage of 24 volts. And it's a universal main, so you can use any voltage in between 90 and 265 volts. So you can also use it in Japan if you like. Older style was you had to switch this switch from 115 or 120 to 230. You don't have to do the switching now. It adapts to the voltage you feed.
That's great.
And then you have, for each outlet, you have a separate DC-DC converter with a separate transformer. So for each output, you have a separate transformer, and that makes it possible to deliver four different voltage options on each outlet. And this is what we do. This is like also one of the trademarks or our unique selling points, that we offer 9, 12, 15, or 18 volts on each tab. We offer 660 milliamps at 9 volt on each tab, which is the highest value in the industry. We have this 1 inch profile, so it's the lowest profile for a combined brick which is fed directly off your wall socket, your AC mains, right? And there is actually no much reason for going lower, because you have this pedal train boards, and this is kind of a little bit like an industry standard, even if temple boards are really picking up market shares. The flat boards from pedal train, if you put the DC-7 underneath that, you have plenty of space in between the floor and the power supply. So,
nanos and the metros.
The metro and the nanos. That's right. So building the power supply like 5 millimeter flatter wouldn't give you the benefit, but it would it would probably cost you 50% more because we already had to squeeze quite a lot of. I mean, the transformer design is quite nasty thing to do to make that flat. But I mean, we ended up with a series because we have the DC7 now. We have the 8 and the 4, and you can use the 4 and DC7 as a standalone, but you can also combine these to build, you know, a 15 or even 23 outlet power bank by combining those units.
That's really interesting. So you can link those and still just power them off of one.
I mean, you have this 24 volt outlet, which can be used for powering a 24 volt pedal, or I've seen recently quite a few power amplifiers guitar amplifiers, where you only have to connect a cabinet with a speaker, right? Sure. And they are made for 24 volts. So you can actually have the DC7 and power your power amp of the 24 volt outlet, and then power all your pedals from the 7 outlets, and then charge your phone from the USB. I mean, so it's quite. I haven't seen that yet, but it would actually be quite nice, setup where you're powering everything of this DC7. And the nice thing also about that is the power meter. We are also the only company, this is the only product where we're actually showing how many percent of the available power you have used. So, we try to give the guitar player, his tech, all the information where are we close to overheating something? Are we close to overloading something? And you can just, you know, a glance, and if the green light is on, you know, you're at 40%. And even at 90%, you still know everything is good because the main diode on the Chucks logo is also an indicator. And once that is turned off, you are around 110, 150%. This is very close to the end of the show, because after that you go into the hiccup mode where everything kind of dies on you. But I mean, you get like a 40, 70, 90% indication, and then okay, you're overloading by maybe 10 or 20%. And the next step is where the power supplies is actually switching off because of overheating. It's switching off so it doesn't destroy itself.
Right,
but I mean, you get quite many warnings. You don't get that with other products on the market. So also, each individual outlet also have an indicator, which tells you whether you're overloading it or not. So
really
this
good.
Is maybe I'm feeding you with a lot of features now, but I think that should be considered as benefits. I mean, some people would say, okay, I just need some power supply. It doesn't matter what it is. And that's also fine. But if you're a professional guitar player, or you would like to rely on your gear, you know, you would like to know that this is going to last for the whole show or for the whole tour. Then it's nice to know that you're not overloading anything.
I completely agree. And I think that's kind of what as you say, that's what you've managed to create, something that a product or a range of products that are so completely suited to extreme professionals. But it's not like that's not the only end of the market that you've cornered with that product, because you also made an incredibly affordable power supply with the Adam power supply.
Yes, the Adam. My son's name is Adam, so this is you might be wondering why the Adam, but this is the smallest unit. It's a very nice thing, entry level thing with 4 outlets. Two of them are switchable to 12 volts. So yes, if you want to get into the Chucks power supplies world, and you're limited on budget, Adam is maybe the way to go. But if you stretch it a little bit, I would say go for the DC5, because I love my son. I also love this Adam power supply. But I mean. For the DC5 as a power supply, I think I have slightly more love for the DC5, because that's a really great unit. You get 5 outlets. One of them is switchable to 18 volts, and two of the outlets are actually 300 milliamps. And this is a safe limit or a safe amount of current to be able to supply the Eventides, the H9, or the Strymons, which are very popular. The height of the unit is the same as the Atom, but you just get that extra. Where I think that the DC5 is a very, very nice product, and this is also why it's selling really well. And before we made the DC7, the DC5 was actually the best selling product we had.
Right.
And it was a coincidence, but it came out at the same time as Strymons really became popular with the Mobius and the Timeline. And
the trifecta, as it is.
Yeah, and the same time as Pedal Train released the Metro and the Nano, they released like five different pedal boards which were flat. And we were the only power supply being able to fit below these boards and able to power a couple of the Strymons. So that was a great coincidence. Thank you, Pedal Train.
I think you were right. That the Atom was actually my first experience with your brand as it was then, after obviously the Big John, because I remember someone had came in and they'd built this fancy mini pedal board on a Pedal Train sort of Nano, I think, you know, and it had a Timeline on there and a couple of other pedals. And it was just, I love the fact it was so neat. I said to Joe before we start this podcast, there's nothing more satisfying to a guitar player, or most guitar players, as a really neat pedal board. And I think, you know, good looking, well-designed power supplies like yours obviously like tie everything together. So it's so nice to have, you know, to have that for a pedal train, because, you know, I dig through my box of what I've got here and some brick style power supplies, you're like, I can't fit it underneath, or, you know, I've got to like have it on top that takes up a pedal space. You know, you're constantly trying to maximize the pedal board space that you have. And I think you allow you to do that, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can absolutely. Tell you one more thing, which is important to mention. It's maybe a little technical, but I mean, with the Atom, and if you don't have any high gain pedals and wah pedals, you might not have experienced any of the noise, proximity noise, which can be found with where you actually place pedals very close to each other, and you do that when you have a small pedal board like Pedal Train Nano. The DC7 and power supply, which are based on the switch mode technology, all the transformers are operating at a very high frequency, like 200 kilohertz, way above the audible range. And this is where it's possible actually to place pedals, well, almost on top of the power supply. So you don't have to think about the proximity noise where the pedals are being able to pick up some noise from the mains transformer in the usual linear power supplies. So this is also an advantage, and I'm not talking about only our brand's switch mode power supplies. This is, in general, for switch mode power supplies, you don't have this proximity noise.
Right.
And especially with wah pedals. If you have a wah pedal, you have to have it quite far away from a linear power supply to get completely rid of this hum, and especially high gain. If you add a fuzz pedal and you have a wah pedal, you really have to be careful where you place your power supply. And so with the DC7 and other brands that are using switch mode technology, this is also a way easier task for where you build the pedal board. You just have to think about maybe the cable length or where would it be convenient to place it, and not necessarily think about how will this play along with my pedals? Would this be a problem to have it close to some kind of pedals? That's not a problem anymore. So,
yeah. And well, absolutely. And you know, and thank goodness we're stepping more towards a world where everything's kind of evening out a little bit now. I feel that power supplies, pedals, boards, everyone's sort of on the same page. We're not sort of, one isn't miles ahead of the other. Like, I don't think you need to reinvent Chock's power supplies for a good another few years, really.
No,
until...
I mean, think about it. You know, it's this is another story that could be an interesting podcast. I mean, the guitar is going to die in 5 years. I mean, everybody asked that 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But I mean, you have a tendency now with the Helix, you know, the stomp from Flying Six, and we're seeing this Quad, I don't know, a company did this.
Oh, the Neural DSP.
I think it's just about to come out in Europe. It's already out in the US. And if some people love that, you know, love this programming stuff. I'm 47. If I still play guitar, I would love to just have pedals with a few knobs on it. And you know what the knob is for. If it says volume, you know it's volume, you know. Yeah. I've got my old MGB from 63 and I love driving, you know. If there's a knob for light, I know when I put I toggle it, the lights will be on if it's not broken. but I mean, all these menus and stuff like that, some people love it, but some people are still for loving the pedals, the simple ones where you have one knob for each function. And I really hope that people will continue to love that kind of stuff, because this is what we make products for, the power supply. Even if we have plenty of power on tap for also for these bigger boxes, so you are actually able to power the stump, and I'm really really much looking forward to be able to measure on this new baby from this company, I can't remember the name, to also be able to tell people how to power this stuff. So
I mean,
power supply is not just buying a product; it's also to give you the support and being able to tell you how to connect the stuff, so it's actually working in the way you want it to.
Exactly. If you want to actually knit everything together on a board, and you're going to have, you know, different things of varying power.
Most guitar players, they are not actually knowing the difference between voltage and current. You know, what's volts and milliamps? They're confusing that stuff. So I have
underpowered and overpowered things all the time. It's definitely not my specialty.
So it's also important to be able to. This is why I've been in my long time in this business, I've been walking around the different shows and measuring the different pedals, you know. After the show is over, I've been measuring the current draw, because it's not always... Actually, Boss is one of the companies that states the true specification. You can actually rely on those figures. That's really nice. So thumbs up for Boss on actually stating the correct values of what is needed to power the pedals. So that's nice. It's not always like that.
No, it definitely isn't.
No, it's there's a company out there that actually makes a unit that just measures the milliamp. But also,
yeah, I think I know
there's a website out there where I think a guy, instead of like, he does like a full review and like teardown of pedals, but also includes
yes,
what milliamps.
Yes, it's a Swedish guy, Stickfund.
That's it. Yes.
I know him. I can't remember. It's Sebastian. I can't remember. But anyway, I know him very well. Yes, he's also been measuring. But I mean, the measuring stuff is not that important. We have 660 milliamps on tap, on each tap. So I mean, if your pedal draws 220, 60, or 340, it doesn't really matter. It's a question about if it draws more than 660. And when we have this LED indicator, you plug it in, and if it turns off, you know, you're overloading one outlet, and then you just have to get yourself a parallel adapter where you're utilizing the power of two outlets combined. Yeah. So the measuring the exact current draw of a certain pedal is not that important. It has been in the old days where you had like 100 milliamps tap, 200 milliamps tap, 400 milliamps tap. You had to choose wisely, to be able to power everything, because if you spend 400 milliamps on a low draw pedal, you'll be lacking this high current output for maybe at your timeline.
Exactly. So, I remember, you know, sort of well enough with I guess either the Pedal Power 2 I think it was the MXR ISO brick. I think he even has the same things.
Yeah,
the
that one has 100 outlets and 250. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember having to build something with that, and really having to be like, right, okay, well, I can daisy chain this output because it's got this much, but this one, which pedal's got the lowest, milliampage?
The thing is, if you don't know the exact current draw and you just plug it in, you might be plugging a 200 milliamp pedal into a 100 milliamp outlet. It might work, but you're heavily overloading this outlet, and you don't know it. And you might get noise because of that, because you're overloading it, so you get some hum, and you get hum, and you don't know why. So this is, we try to give all the information we can by the LEDs, the indicators, the power meter, so you can have, by a glance, you actually are able to see that everything is powered correctly.
Absolutely. And you know, that is why it is such a good product, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not at all. But that's about all the time we have for this week's episode of the Friday Special. It's been absolutely wonderful having you on, Paul. Thanks very much for taking the time to
You're
chat
welcome.
With us.
I hope I haven't been talking too much.
No, this is exactly what... This
is what we need.
Oh, yeah. Super geeky. Talking about milliampage.
One last thing. If I might throw one last thing. We offer 5-year worldwide warranty. And this is also the last thing I should say, that we stand behind the product and you can... I mean, you can be in Singapore, Australia, US, and if something happens, you shoot us an email on support and we figured it out to get it back and you can get a new unit. That's also important. So it's a high quality product and you have 5 years of warranty. I mean, that's important. You get that.
That's the thing. Having the confidence in the product to offer that sort of support, I think that, you know, that speaks volumes about the brand. But yes, you can, of course, catch more Guitar Nerds over on our Patreon at patreon.com/guitar nerds, or join us on any of the major social platforms with @Guitar Nerds. And you can check out Chocks Power Supplies at chocks.com. That's CIOKS. You can see that in the title of this podcast episode as well. And we'll be back next week with our regular episode on Wednesday and another episode on Friday. We'll catch you then for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Thank you. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.